The region's Native American tribes have been advancing efforts to provide justice for their people in ways that resonate with the tribal culture and history. And the Federal Department of Justice recently provided grants to a scattering of tribes for those justice efforts. In our region, the Klamath tribes plan to use their grant for services generally related to domestic abuse and sexual violence. The Karuk tribe plans to establish a victim services access center. And the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Indians envisions housing as the main focus of its justice grant. Two guests join us in studio. Michelle Moore is the Director of Human Services for the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Indians. Michelle, thank you for joining us here.
Thank you for having us.
Julie Zuver is with us as well, who is the Victims of Crime Case Manager for the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Indians. Good to have you as well, Julie.
Thank you. Good morning.
So let's start first with the idea of human services. This is not human resources. I mean, what kinds of a lot of services for tribal members come into that heading, don't they?
Yes. So we have our department, Human Services Department. We serve a wide range of tribal members and their families in elder services, adult and family services, ICWA, Indian Child Welfare, and then we also have our victim services.
Which is where Julie comes in. So what does a victims of crime, I mean, the term seems fairly straightforward, but what kinds of cases do you deal with?
Any victim of crime, whether it be domestic violence, sexual assault, child abuse, any kind, burglaries, property crimes, financial crimes. We help people through the justice system, point them in different directions where they can get help. We also provide legal services. We pay for legal services for folks who need that, maybe in a domestic violence situation where a family needs to change a custody order. We can help with that, help them get restraining orders and do the things they need to do.
Michelle Moore, is there any tribal justice apparatus of itself? I mean, are there tribal courts, tribal law enforcement, anything like that?
So we are working on that at this time. We're working on building tribal court as well as the justice, or as well as a tribal police department.
But otherwise, at the moment, you're dealing with whatever the local jurisdiction in which the person lives or in which, which a crime is committed?
Yes. Right now, we work with the circuit court and with the local police department, as well as Department of Human Services on the child abuse cases.
I should point out for the listeners who are not quite familiar with the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Indians, you're centered with headquarters in Roseburg, but most of the tribal members in Douglas County then?
Well, we have tribal members. Most are located in Douglas, Josephine, Jackson, but we also have out-of-state tribal members, and some of the VOCA allows us to be able to serve people outside the state as well.
So do you get into some jurisdictional issues where I mean, because you don't have a tribal justice structure yet, that you're, as we've just discussed, but then in dealing with victim cases across state lines, for example, Julie, do things get interesting jurisdictionally?
They can. They can be very interesting. As it turns out, I happen to be a lawyer.
That helps.
So, yeah. So I can do a little research and help point people in the direction they need to go.
So what would you say are the greatest needs, justice needs of tribal members, Michelle?
So we started with our domestic violence grants, and then we expanded to apply for the VOCA. And then Julie was hired, and we found out about the VOCA set-aside, and she was very excited about that, so we applied for it. And so through the domestic violence grants, we're able to serve domestic violence and sexual assault. It's very limited. With VOCA, we can serve victims of crime, as Julie explained. And with the VOCA set-aside, that allowed us to enhance these other services that we have. And we kind of came to the decision we wanted to pursue housing because we can take people out of situations or we can assist people, but housing, well, across the state, is a huge barrier. And so our program will actually be on-site. We're partnering with NeighborWorks Umpqua, and they will provide the housing units that we'll lease from them. And then we'll have a live on-site case manager who will work with in the tribal services through the clinic, behavioral health, and other services that we have, as well as community partners to create a case plan individualized to the person, and they will have transitional housing for 1 to 2 years with the hope that they will achieve permanent stability, not only with housing, but within their life and be able to maintain self-sufficiency.
Where will the housing be located?
It's actually located in Roseburg. Mm-hmm. We met with NeighborWorks Umpqua prior to we even knew we would be getting the grant. And so we had kind of worked out some ideas, and of course that it's still in process. We just found out we got the, you know, received the grant. And so we are still meeting with them and formulating the details at this time.
You said is. I mean, is it existing housing that's just going to be repurposed for the transitional housing, or does it need to be built?
So NeighborWorks Umpqua provides this. They're a nonprofit organization, and they provide this in the community. The thought or the plan at this time is that they have purchased a property, and they will be putting manufactured homes on the property, and that we will be leasing. We'll have six units. One will have a live-on-site case manager, and then the other five will be for our participants in the program.
We're talking about tribal justice here on the Jefferson Exchange with Michelle Moore, the Director of Human Services for the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Indians, which received a grant of getting close to $715,000 to be used for transitional housing for stability for families and individuals while they receive restorative services. Julie Zuver, the Victims of Crime case manager for the Cow Creek Band, with us as well. And you can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. So the Office of Justice Programs, the Office for Victims of Crimes within the Federal Justice Department, provided the grants awards in early April. What were some of the guidelines you had to follow just to apply for the grant? Or is that a Julie question?
Well, we had to have a plan. We had to provide a narrative that told the department what we plan to do with the money and how we plan to use it, and it had to be relatively detailed. There was a two-phase process. The first phase was a little more general about what you were going to do with what your plan was, and once you got past the first phase, if you did, then you had to get more detailed about what you were going to do with the money. And so we had to provide a timeline of when we were going to do things. We had to provide a narrative of what we were going to do with the money. And of course, then we have all the financial reporting requirements that go with a federal grant.
Which are considerable, aren't they?
They are.
All right. Well, let's talk about the people who would get to make use of the housing then. First of all, can you give us some sketch of how often there are people who are victims of crime or domestic violence or some situation that requires the kind of attention you're talking about for the transitional housing?
It happens a lot, actually, because it includes things like children who are in child abuse situations. To get them returned, housing is a big issue for families. And oftentimes that will delay a return of a child to the parents once they've done what they need to do because housing is so tight. It also, there's unfortunately a lot of domestic violence and people need to relocate. And so we do quite a bit of domestic violence and family work with families.
All right. So I see what you're talking about, though. I mean, you both referenced this already, the idea that, you know, getting back into a stable family situation where life can be improved based on the things that people learn in the process requires a place for people to be living, which, of course, is an ongoing issue in the region. How tight is the housing market in Douglas County in particular?
Very. We're looking at less than 1%, I believe, was the last statistic that I heard.
For vacancy rate?
Yeah.
Yeah, which seems like a pretty typical number around Western Oregon for sure. So the grant references restorative services. Can we get into some depth on what restorative services are?
So when thinking about how we wanted to structure this, it's very important, I think, that people have access to services. They're not having to travel, that, you know, everything is right there. And so the biggest part of our project was not only the transitional housing, but the services that will come with it. So we will provide an individualized case plan all the way from budgeting, where we will assist in managing their money, opening a bank account, saving money for either future rental or purchase of a home, but also parenting and domestic violence group, empowerment group. whatever their plan requires. And then the live on-site case manager will have the training to be able to provide a lot of the services, referrals to tribal services that are existing, or referrals to services outside. The live on-site case manager will be living there 24/7 and be providing, unless they are on vacation, 24/7 hour response to any kinds of crisis that may occur.
How many people do you envision living in the housing?
Well, we have five units for, there's six altogether, like I said, with the case manager, but so we'll have five. I think we had, it's hard to tell because we're new in the project, but if we serve 15 over our three-year period, I think that we would be doing pretty good. Some people may be there for 6 months. Some people may be there for a year. It's all going to be very individualized.
But it functions almost like not a homeless shelter, perhaps, but at least a shelter where people can get their lives together and then move on to another situation that they're more in control of.
Correct. So we have transitional housing for 90 days. And then when they would go into housing for 90 days, it wasn't enough time to help them find a more stable residence, because we also have long-term tribal housing, which the waiting list can be anywhere from 9 months to a year to get into. So there was this gap. The other part of it is that we didn't have enough time in 90 days to really provide the services that people may need. And so this will fill that gap of preparing people for long-term housing and be able to maintain that.
The long-term tribal housing, how many people stay in that now?
You know, that's not our department. That's the housing department. I know that I don't even know how many units there are, but we also serve people in long-term tribal housing. So once they transition from transitional housing, we also follow them. I mean, when you work with tribes, you work cradle to grave, and so it never ends. And there might be a period of time where someone's doing well, but then they might need some more assistance again at some point in time.
Cradle to grave is a good way to put it. You just described a whole plethora of services that will accompany the people who use the transitional housing, in addition to the on-site case manager. I mean, are those positions generally, I mean, do you have people in those positions already, or will you have to staff up a little further beyond just the on-site case manager?
The on-site case manager will be able to manage those five units and however many people are in those, because they will be utilizing the already existing services and community services that are available.
So let's talk about the justice grants. I mean, how often does an opportunity to apply for a grant like this come around, Julie Zuber?
To be honest, I haven't worked in this field long enough to be able to answer that question. It's the main grant, after Michelle and another of our workers, Andrea Davis, decided to apply for the VOCA grant that hired me, then I've seen this big grant here. But there are there are at least a few times a year that you can apply for different grants.
The amount is fairly impressive, $714,783. It's such a specific dollar amount. I mean, did you deliver to them, so this is what our accounting shows that we'll need?
Actually, the grant was $720,000, mm-hmm. and as we went through phase one, a little bit of our budget was not approved. And so the grant was approved as our budget was approved.
So the federal government swiped out $6,000 in change, or yeah?
Yes, but because we had a couple of things in our grant that were not approved.
But the bulk of it got approved. I'm just curious, curious to know what was in the $6,000 that they didn't like very much.
Storage.
Oh, for people to keep their stuff?
Yes.
Which is kind of an important thing with housing.
Yes, but it was not part of the part of the plan, or part of the allotment of the funding.
Michelle Moore and Julie Zuber are with us from the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Indians. Julie is the Victims of Crime case manager. Michelle is the Director of Human Services for the tribe. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Again, human services is such a vast field. I mean, how important is it to have this particular chunk of money? I mean, we're getting close to $750,000 here, and I think you described it as a three-year cycle. So, I mean, how much does this advance the effort to provide justice for members of the Cow Creek Band?
Well, I think it really enhances what we're already doing, and it gives us the opportunity to have someone in a location where we're able to manage the barriers that prevent them from self-sufficiency. And so this is really an enhancement to the services that we already have. It's kind of like a residential treatment for individuals or families in order for them to be able to be somewhere long enough to be able to create stability.
Since there is no tribal court structure, for example, I mean, is this have you had to work out with the courts in Douglas County that this is an option for anybody involved in the process? I mean, does it have to pass muster with any other sort of local government to be able to be included as part of a package of justice and or services for victims?
No, not really. And there is tribal court, but it's very specific. And so we utilize circuit court for our child welfare cases. We work closely with Department of Human Services, Child Welfare, and AP, Aging and People with Disabilities, our Department of Human Services we work closely with. We also work closely with the court system. Living in Douglas County, it's small, so we kind of know the attorneys and we know the judges, not that that matters, but we kind of understand the process. And so we work closely with our local judicial system. And then we also work with tribal court for the elements that we would need to do there. But so Battered Persons Advocacy, which is our domestic violence program in Douglas County, we work closely with them. They also have the VOCA grant. This grant just became, I think, specific to tribes for tribes to be able to access. Prior to that, we would contract with Battered Persons Advocacy to provide services for domestic violence and those kinds of things. Now we're able to do it ourselves.
Is the A assistance, Victims of Crime Assistance, is that what the
Victims of Crime Act is
Act.
Actually
Act.
What,
okay,
it is.
What it is. Okay. And so does your job disappear after a while as victim of crime case manager, or are you a permanent thing with the Cow Creek Band?
Well, I hope I'm a permanent thing.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
She's not going anywhere.
Unfortunately, there are I don't think we're going to run out of victims and survivors. And so there's plenty of work for me to keep doing. I provide a little bit different service. I don't provide the life skills and the budgeting and all of that. Instead, I try to help people get through legal system. We provide that. If there's some place that they need to go to access an attorney, we can help with that. And I provide more emergency services and the legal services. This part of the grant, this VOCA grant, will provide more of the long-term life skills, get yourself stable stuff, where I will be doing the emergency things.
You got the immediate legal response kind of thing, and then the taking care of day-to-day life business is a different area.
Right.
How many active cases do you have at a given time, Julie?
Right now, I think I have about 10 mm-hmm. ongoing cases.
And has that number continued to rise since you took the job? Or
yes.
Well, so that could mean a couple of things, Michelle Moore. It seems like on one hand it could mean that there's more people in need of victim services because there's more crime, but it also could mean that more people are aware of the services being there. And I wonder if you can give us a sense of that.
I think that more people are becoming aware, and also we are able to utilize our VOCA for children who have suffered child abuse. So those cases with Department of Human Services, the ICWA, Indian Child Welfare Act cases, Julie is able to work to help stabilize those cases as well. And then we just are able to transfer more cases to her as they arise, where we did not have this availability before. And our Andrea Davis, who's our Adult and Family Services and has the domestic violence grants, she would work with them. And so I think more over Julie's taking on more responsibility as we get more people.
I was just hearing on a newscast this morning, and I don't know if you guys had a chance to hear it too, about a bill in the Oregon State Legislature to help state police speed investigations on missing and murdered Native women.
Yes.
And I wonder if you're taking any part in that process.
I'm not taking any active role in it. We just had a tribal summit over in Pendleton on the Umatilla Reservation, and that was part of the things that we were talking about is what we can do and how we can become involved in that. So we'll be looking at that as well.
A lot more attention, you think, in the years to come for,
yes,
for the ongoing issue of missing and murdered Native women?
Yes.
What do you see then, Michelle, in the minute we have left, in terms of building upon the gains already made in tribal justice for the Cow Creek Band? What other things do you think beyond this grant and this next step you've taken?
Well, I think right now we have a lot on our plate because we've done a lot just in the last couple of years with applying for the VOCA grant and receiving that for Julie's position, and now we have this grant. But our hope is to be able to expand and enhance the transitional housing as we build on that and just continue to serve people that are in need.
More efforts at tribal justice to come for sure. The Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Indians got $714,783,000 for long-term transitional housing. Klamath Tribes, $397,000 for existing services and outreach to victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, sex trafficking, and dating violence. And the Karuk Tribe, $720,000 roughly, to improve access to and delivery of services to victims of crime by establishing a Victim Services Access Center. So a fair amount of money coming down to tribes in the region. Thank you to Michelle Moore and Julie Zuber of the Cow Creek Band for joining us in the studio.
Thank you.